Children are welcome at this time to go to Children's Church, and we thank you, Brad and Tony, we thank you for watching over them. Wonderful. Hey, did you notice that the kids didn't even need books for that? I'm just saying, you know, that's great. That's fantastic. That's so good. Oh, that was wonderful. Love all, and what a great way of praising God together. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, the title of today's sermon, The Extravagant Gardener, and the subtitle of it, God's Plan for the Hard Times. Ever since Adam and Eve received the promise of hard times from God as they left the Garden of Eden, human beings have been having hard times. Ask anybody in this room about hard times, and the answers would vary, but the truth would be consistent. We've had our share. And many of us are going through some form of hard times right now. Relationships, finances, hurricane consequences, a crisis of health. We've all got our stories to tell, meaning we've all been there to one degree or another. We may look all put together as we come to this place with nice clothes and big smiles and new perms and things like that. We may look all put together, but we've had our hard times. And praise God, this is a church where you can bring your hard times right here. And you'll be welcomed, and there'll be people will walk with you through it. That's the way God is. That's the way God's love is. Back in 2008, I saw a story, a pretty profound reflection of hard times. A reporter named Dan Harris from ABC News This Week, he did an investigative piece that I caught called How to Buy a Child in 10 Hours. And I'm glad no one laughed or chuckled at it, because it was, well, almost no one. That's okay. You don't know what's coming yet. But buying a child, they did an investigative journalistic piece. And they had heard that there was slave trafficking in Haiti. Not in 1888 or 1788, but in 2008. And so they made arrangements to go to a hotel in Haiti and to contract with an ex-leader, minister in the government, who was no longer the minister in the government. And they met him in an open hotel lobby, and they had secret cameras rolling. And they filmed as he offered to sell them a 10-year-old boy for $150. The boy would become their property. They could do whatever they wanted. And the man offered to get more if they were needed. That's hard times, I guess. I guess you've got hard times if you'd give up your child to a stranger on the guarantee of a few dollars for some empty, unsubstantiated promise of an education and better future. And this man was not alone. It was estimated at the time that there were some 300,000 child slaves just in that country. And I'm not here this morning to pick on Haiti as a faraway place, as the only place. There are estimates there that there are now in our world more slaves than there have ever been in the history of the world, working in the sex trade, working as domestic slaves, taken from their families who are in poverty, sometimes kidnapped, sometimes willingly made an empty promise, swindled out of their children, thinking that their children will be educated, will have a future, when in fact they're being sold into slavery. That is hard times. That is not, again, 1788 or 1888. That's this century. That's right now. Now, hard times were abundant in Jesus' day too. Contagious illnesses and diseases that they didn't know how they spread, except you're supposed to stay away from people that catch it, like leprosy, mental illness, demonic forces, poverty, slavery, aging bodies, and kids who didn't care as much as the previous generation. In the context of a troubled world, that troubled world that Jesus was in, he tells a parable. A sower went out and sowed some seed. Some of the seed fell on baked, hard scrabble dirt. The seed sprouted and began to take root, but the bright, cruel, hot sun of poverty came and caused the plant to wither and die. Hard times. Some other seed was scattered, but birds came along and sold the child into slavery, devouring it before it even had a chance to grow up. Hard times. Some of the seed fell among sharp, cutting thorns, cruel thorns, just doing their best to survive, but choking the very life out of the green shoots. But Jesus says that some of the seed fell on good soil, and it sprouted and grew and produced a miraculous harvest. In the midst of the tragedy all around it, lifeless seeds die to themselves and grow and flourish, beating the odds and coming to life. At first glance, this passage looks like a pretty fatalistic version of life. Seeds grow where they're planted. You sort of get the whatever the soil is around you, that's what you get. God doesn't really intervene in the parable. If you're the soil that's good enough for stuff to grow, you bear fruit. If not, and believe me, there's a lot of not out there, you're out of luck. So that's one of the interpretations of Jesus' parable. And in this text, Jesus asks, basically, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil do you want to be? What's most important to you, the weeds that surround you or the gospel that you hear that can bring life? Just what type of crop do you want to produce? So for some of us this morning, this parable is helpful because it reminds us that even it kind of explains the world, that there's going to be thorns out there, there's going to be birds out there, there's going to be harshness out there in the world, and yet some seeds can spring up and bear fruit. But maybe this one way of looking at this parable is not the only one. Maybe there is more in this parable for us to contemplate. The home that I moved from in Durham when I came to Roxborough was basically a wooded lot in the backyard. Anybody got one of those? There's a 20-foot little strip of grass right behind the house. Well, grass, I say in quotes, because the dog has patted down some of it. There's some moss that passes for grass. There's some weeds. I don't know what that is or who planted it there. There's this purple pokeweed stuff coming up in another place. There's shade and, you know, like it's just not good for anything. Even the grass, mostly weeds. And if any agriculturists, any farmers here in the congregation, would that be a good place to grow your crop? Probably not, right? So imagine that I'm sitting there with a friend. If I said, you know, what should I plant here? And the gardener might say, don't plant those seeds. That's a waste of seeds. You'd be better off going to Food Lion, getting some vegetables that way, because ain't nothing going to grow there, right? But I can just imagine, maybe you and I are sitting down, sharing a coffee in the kitchen, looking out on that just mess in the backyard, where there's a better chance that the seeds would grow up in your clogged gutter. You ever had that happen before? Than there would be for anything to come up down in the yard. Just imagine that while we're sipping on our coffee, there's this person that comes walking by scattering seeds. And we might say, Mr., what are you doing in my backyard? But second, why are you why are you scattering your seeds there? That's a waste. And I can imagine this person saying, because some life might come forth. Life will come forth. Let's see what happens. This is so exciting. Well, mister, you're crazy. You're a fool scattering seeds in my backyard. Nothing's going to grow there. I know you think so, says the person, but just watch. Maybe some of this will come to life. And the days go by, the days turn to weeks, nothing. But then all of a sudden, in a patch that we least expect it, evidently the conditions have been just right, and seeds become sprouts, and sprouts become plants, and plants produce flowers and fruit, and we harvest the marvelous crop. This person, the stranger, returns joyfully like a little kid. Look how it's grown. You never expected it to grow here, but it did. I knew it could. That's fantastic. I told you something could grow here. Evidently, the sower in this story doesn't pay much attention to the condition of the soil. The sower is an extravagant gardener, an excessive gardener, a prodigal gardener, an eccentric gardener. The gardener is out there. He knows how things grow. The gardener knows where things grow. The gardener knows what keeps things from growing. And yet there the gardener is, throwing seeds all over the place, in the weary places, the dry places. Throwing seeds that make it to the gardens that have been properly prepared, but also throwing seeds of truth and love and life into the gardens of greedy people. And throwing seeds of truth and love and life and hope into the paths walked by perverted justice. Into the walkways of wasted lives. Onto the steps even of slavery. Onto the trails of trafficking. Why? Because God knows that it just might grow, that it can grow, that there is a chance, and that is all God needs. When we apply that story to our community, think about it. I know I've been to some of your homes. Some of you live on right nice farmland. Crops come up every year, but not everybody. And we know, we pass places, some of us, on the way into church. Ain't nothing going to grow there. When we apply that story to our community, to our world, the implications are nothing short of subversive. I submit that in the midst of hard times, of times of crazy, ridiculously awful things like child slavery, but also things closer to home of recession and poverty, of hunger and suicide and runaways and foster families and Alzheimer's and drugs and bankruptcy and nuclear weapons like I saw in the news this morning and hurricanes and no renter's insurance and flooded neighborhood, that God sows seed like that crazy gardener we just imagined in our backyard. Even there, because something might grow. And maybe there's a neighbor that would say, that dirt looks pretty poor, but if I put a hoe to it, or if I put some fertilizer on it, if I invest in this ground, if I go buy a little black cow and mix it up in there, right, and mix it up, then maybe something is going to grow. And the sower does not intervene in the story. I wonder, are we a people that want to see life? Are we people that derive satisfaction from seeing broken things become whole? I hope so. God says that He plants seeds everywhere, even in the dangerous places, even in the dry places, even in the thorny, difficult places. Jesus ate with undesirable people. Something might grow. Jesus left the 99 to get the one sheep that was trapped because something might grow. Jesus risked His own purity in the eyes of others to speak with and touch the untouchables. Jesus refrained from calling down the angels of heaven when He was nailed up on a cross so that He could be nailed on a cross with two potential brothers alongside of Him to save them. Today, you will be with me in paradise. The whole story of God's creation is one of setting people free and then walking with us through the long and winding and dangerous road of our own choosing. There God is, continually saying, follow me, continuing to give us the choice not to. Continually God is getting His heart broken as we choose our own way. God is continually forgiving us and welcoming us back again and again and again. It's who God is, and it's who God calls us to be. wonder, do you hear God calling? Several churches ago, there was a story told that before I got there, they had tried to invite people to their Christmas cantata. They'd sent out 10,000 mailers. You know, we get these ads all the time. Direct mail, reach your community. They sent out 10,000 mailers, and only one or two people came, and they said, that's the last time we did one of those mailers. Because only one or two people came. And I wonder if you could think of each one of those pieces of direct mail like a seed, maybe. I wonder how the story would be different. Now, I'm not advocating for us to do a direct mail campaign. It's just kind of an illustration. But I wonder if you said that, if the sower, the sound would be like, the story would go like this. The story would say, a sower went out to sow seed. He threw some on the path. The birds came and ate up the seed. The sower slumped his shoulders, kicked and shouted at the birds with heartbroken futility, vowed to never sow there again, and went home. But Jesus didn't tell that parable, did he? Jesus said the sower just kept on sowing and sowing and sowing. The gardener was not going to quit. That's not how the story goes. The story doesn't go that the gardener slumped his shoulders, kicked, said, we'll never try that again, and went home. Thank God we don't serve a God like that. When the birds came, he kept on sowing. When the suspicious person came looking for money and you gave it and the person took the money and bought something he shouldn't have, God kept on sowing. When our standards of living rose and enabled us to fit so much more into so much less time so that we even had less time for God, God kept on sowing. God keeps on sowing God's word, keeps on inviting to this place. When we spent more times in our jobs than with our families, and when things started falling apart, God kept on sowing. The gospel continued to be proclaimed. Praise God. God is raising up new life right in our midst. God is raising up new babies like the one that was baptized last week and nurtured in a loving and safe Christ-like community. God is raising up new ways of working together, new and stronger priorities. God is raising up families that pray at their dinner table and drop everything to help those in need. God is raising up parents who faithfully bring their children to church even if they don't want to go. God is raising up people who need each other and will go the extra mile to live out their lives for Christ. God is raising up new harvests, bearing fruit of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold what was sold. So that's who God is. God is an extravagant gardener. That's how he do, as they say. That's how God rolls. That's who I'm following. That's who we claim to follow. So this week, as you go from this place, in the midst of hard times, I wonder, what is your response to those hard times? To hunker down and clutch your seeds that much tighter, to swat at the birds and just give up, or to open up and sow the seeds of God's kingdom all around. This week, if you're facing some hard times, I hope you'll remember that you are never so hardened as to be out of reach of God, who is even now planting the seeds of love and mercy within you and around you. The right conditions are perhaps right around the corner. Most of us have come here, I think, wanting to catch some glimpse of a generous God. Well, you've come to the right place. And you've come to the wrong place. You've come to the right place because God is indeed surrounding us with seeds of good love. But you've come to the wrong place because this is not the only place that God is sowing seeds. The gardener is sowing seeds everywhere, waiting for us to see the life spring forth. If we have the courage, we might just shoo away some birds or lay down a little extra nourishment or add a little living water and work with God to bring in an even bigger harvest. Maybe we'll take disciple Bible study into a jail. Maybe we'll vow to adopt a rural Haitian or Jamaican village and make sure no other children are sold into slavery there. Maybe we'll offer our support at an AA meeting, which already meets here, or just show up at the Christian Help Center without the cover of a group of people to go there with us. Maybe we'll volunteer to do children's church, even though our children are long grown. Maybe we'll put a little effort into developing a reputation as a church, as God's foolish gardeners. Long Memorial, up on Main Street, with all those crazy gardeners, putting other seeds everywhere. That sounds like my kind of church. There are hard times all around. Jesus told this parable to people just like you, whether you can't get nothing to grow or whether the world comes and pecks away the little you've got started. Whether the concerns of the world have been choking the life out of you or whether you feel like your soil's pretty rich, the extravagant gardener's seeds are falling all around you, the seeds of God's word. You've seen pictures, haven't you, of mountain rocks like Hanging Rock or in the Rocky Mountains, these big, desolate places where it looks like nothing could grow, these big rocks, and there's just a little crack. And in that little tiny crack, there was a little seed from a pine tree. And that pine tree shot out from there and over the centuries managed to stake its claim to life where only the tiniest of crack once was. That's all the space God, the extravagant gardener, needs. But while we're at it, why not take the little crack in our life we might give to God and nourish it? Put some soil in there. Let some sunlight shine in. Add a little nourishment. When good things grow there, when the gospel takes root, we'll be sure to thank the gardener, the creator of the soil in the first place, the one who gave us a heart and ears to receive it. May we continue to develop the reputation of as God's church of extravagant gardener disciples. Long Memorial, those crazy gardeners, they sow seed everywhere. And wow, look what God has raised up. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.